So I want to start off with kind of a prophetic word and then dive back into Romans, where we've been for the past 3 weeks. This will be the fourth week in Romans 6 this time. In this series that I'm calling Reflecting the Father, because I think that's what this body does that's rising, is it reflects the Father. So like I've been saying every week, Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that was in response to one of them saying, hey, Jesus, will you just show us the Father? He's like, wait, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So as Jesus' body now on the earth, all of us, I think that's our same commission. That's our same invitation, is that we can reflect the Father. And so I'm going to get back to that in just a second. And just trusting the Holy Spirit to see how exactly this word applies. But hey, this week I was driving down the road on Wednesday morning on the way to the Chapel Hill pastor's meeting that I have once a month. And the Lord just gave me this word, and he said, Matthew, I want to give you guys ancient doors. I want to give you guys ancient doors. And again, I'm not like the most spiritually bright or perceptive person all the time. So my initial response, honestly, was, okay, great, Lord. Now remind me, what does that mean? Like, what are those ancient doors? And so I'm in my meeting. I'm talking with a few of the guys and did a quick concordance search. It reminded me of Psalm 24:7, right? And here's what it is, if you can put that up, Liam. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Right? Oh, yeah. And I put that up in a different translation. But lift up your head, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. And then after that meeting, the Lord started showing me a few other things. And then at lunch, I was sharing with, I think with Chuck and Janet, we're sitting there at the table, and I was like, hey, the Lord just out of the blue gave me this word this morning, and Janet just started reading me this article that she had come across, and here's just an excerpt from it. It says in the article, what are ancient doors and ancient gates? Ancient gates or doors are portals of access established by God from the third heaven to earth. They are unobstructed by demonic interference, in which angels travel from heaven and back again, while provisions are delivered, transportation, even translation and revelation are given to man. Biblically, in Daniel 10:13, he is informed that the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding, or standing opposite, the angel for 21 days. Michael, one of the chief princes or angels, came to help fight through the portal in the demonic land of Babylon to give Daniel understanding. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 17, the story of Jacob's dream is recorded. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. In verse 13, God is standing at the top of the ladder, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. These verses are a wonderful account of how God reveals a portal in a dream to a man and prophesied Jacob's destiny to him. So, I mean, when she's reading this, I'm just about to fall off my chair, because I'm like, this is all the stuff that the Lord's been sharing with us about destiny, about identity, about prophecy, you know, these sorts of things. The last little bit in this excerpt, and it's a really long article, but this is just the piece. Once in praise, this pastor who's writing the article says, in praise and worship at our church, I saw like a portal open above me that looked like a tornado. And at the top of the swirling cloud was this face smiling and waving at me. It only lasted a few seconds, but it was a gate or an ancient door that opened for me. So I believe the Lord's just given us an invitation to call in this King of Glory. To, I guess, to welcome the King of Glory. Byron said, invite these ancient doors. So again, what's the purpose of this? Well, let's look again at Psalm 24 in the Passion Translation. So wake up. Here's how it's worded here. So wake up, you living gateways. Do I have that on the screen? Yeah, there it is. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Isn't that awesome? Welcome the King of Glory, for He is about to come through you.
Yes, that's good.
Shabbat. You ask, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here He comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, the invincible commander of the heavenly hosts. Yes, He is the King of Glory. Pause in His presence, right? It's Selah or Selah in there. Why don't we just pause? Why don't you guys just stand with me for a second while we pause? You want to? Let's just pause and welcome the glory in.
Welcome, oh God.
Yeah, just say that. I believe we need to say it ourselves. The wake up, is almost like in what Matthew was saying, of inviting those doors. I believe it's part of you individually giving the Lord permission. Like, we welcome you.
Yeah, we welcome you, King of Glory.
Matthew and I can't say that for you individually over your own life, in your own family. You have to say that to the Lord yourself. We give you permission.
Yeah.
We're saying, welcome. We're saying, wake us up.
Yeah.
Wake up, old doors. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up, you ancient doors.
Yes, God.
Let the King of Glory come in this morning.
Yes, God.
Welcome, Lord.
Yes, God.
Welcome,
yes, we welcome you, King of Glory.
Amen.
We call in you, Ancient of Days, the ancient doors to open. We welcome them to open in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our government, in our school systems, in our media, in our entertainment, in every area of culture, in Chapel Hill, in the universities, God. Come open up, O ancient doors. Open up, fling wide, O you gates, that the King, mighty in battle, might come forth. Oh, let the glory fill this temple, God.
Welcome.
Oh, we just welcome the glory.
Welcome you.
We welcome your glory, God.
Welcome you, Lord. Welcome you.
Yeah, you just feel that rising up in your belly. Just your spirit person, your spirit man. Welcome. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, yeah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. How many people are just sensing that? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. You can be seated if you like. It's interesting that the purpose here in Psalm 24 is that the Lord mighty in battle. You know, there's like almost a spiritual violence. The warrior king. Isn't that interesting in the day that we live in? How many know that the battle is the Lord's?
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
There's something stirred up in the atmosphere. But the King of Glory is riding a mighty stallion with a sword in his hand. And it's a beautiful thing. It's beauty.
Yeah.
Coming to destroy like depression. Come on, Lord. The ancient door to destroy depression over a generation. We welcome that gateway. Thank you, Jesus. If it's okay, I'd just like to read a few other examples in the New Testament because I just believe there's this authority, this power here. In John 1, Jesus saw Nathanael approaching and he said, "Now here comes a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive." Nathanael was stunned and said, "But you've never met me. How do you know anything about me?" And Jesus answered, "Nathanael, right before Philip came to you, I saw you sitting under the shade of a fig tree." And he was blown away and blurted out, "Teacher, you are truly the Son of God and the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe simply because I told you I saw you sitting under a fig tree? You will experience even more impressive things than that. I prophesy to you eternal truth. From now on, you all," everybody say all. Because that's all y'all. You know, should have put y'all in there in the translation. But from now on, y'all will see an open heaven and gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway reaching into the sky with the messengers of God climbing up and down upon him. So the spiritual doorway. Then, of course, at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky. I'm not going to shout, but imagine the Father God shouting this over his boy. "This is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him." I hear the Spirit of God shouting that over our generation. "This is the generation that I love. My greatest delight is in him." Isn't it awesome? In these open heavens, we see the warrior king. We see the identity coming. I mean, it just keeps getting better as you really dig deep into it. Even in Acts 7, in tragedy at Stephen's martyrdom, look what he saw though. "But Stephen, overtaken with great faith, was full of the Holy Spirit. He fixed his gaze into the heavenly realm and saw the glory and the splendor of God and Jesus who stood up at the right hand of God. 'Look,' Stephen said, 'I can see the heavens opening and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God to welcome me home.'" As we marinate in the glory of God, we welcome the ancient doors.
Yeah.
You can look, you can see the Son of Man. You can see even into the throne room. Right now, in your own time, God is opening. He has and he will continue to open these heavenly gates to gaze and to see.
Yeah.
And we are a prophetic culture, a prophetic people. That's what that means. Is because Jesus' body, he is Jacob's ladder, he is the door, that there's no separation then.
That's right.
So the only disconnect is an ignorance and an unawareness of it. Right? That's where some of us have been in the past. That's where a lot of the church still is today. It's not that they don't have the access. They absolutely do have the access. But you do have to be aware and look for it. Right? Two more. Revelation 4. Here's a very personal, vivid example. You know, that book at the end of the Bible is called A Revelation of Jesus Christ. One more. So then suddenly, after this is John speaking, wrote down these messages, "I saw a heavenly portal open before me, and the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, 'Ascend into this realm, I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place and someone seated upon it. And, you know, then there's Paul in Corinthians 12, I believe it is, who was caught up into the third heaven. I mean, the examples just go on and on and on. In that article that I shared, an excerpt, he went through the whole Old Testament. Not going to do that this morning. And then I'm just sharing with you just a fraction of all through the new covenant. It's, well, why, Lord? Not so that we can be just weird people. Like, you know, so we have this weird, like, Christian lingo that people just look at us with this blank stare. Like, what in the heck is wrong with you? Like, what are you smoking? No, really. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not for the sake of weirdness. It's actually very practical in application. It's actually the most normal thing. It's living that prophetic lifestyle. Again, our Father's, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Well, how do you get what's in heaven like this? This is the way. This is the path that God made. It was his broken body. It literally, going to other scriptures, it literally rent the veil at the Holy of Holies, right, in Jerusalem, from top to bottom, which was a physical manifestation of the spiritual reality in heaven. So now there's no separation. So that through Christ we can view, we can appear, just like in John. And I'm not talking about to write another book of the Bible. No, that's complete. But to see what God's doing, what he's saying for your practical life, what he's saying for your children, for your job, for your school, for whatever it is in life that you need wisdom for. This is the path, you know. And to go back to my announcement, what I can't wait to see God do is for each of us to join together and get a part, right? To get a piece. To say, hey, I'm feeling this. Well, wow, that's cool. Because look how that lines up with this over here. And look how that part of the body is able to do this. And this part of the body is able to function in this way. And what makes it even better is that we can all, we've all been given gifts that we are passionate about. But we're not like each other. But that's okay, because when we come together, it forms a mosaic that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, this is a cool verse too. Proverbs 8:34. This is in the NIV. Blessed are those who listen to me, the Holy Spirit says, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. I believe that as we even welcome in the ancient doors and we wait, and we look and we listen, not only does God share stuff with us, but there's favor there. There's God's favor. How many people have ever experienced that in a practical way in your life? Deanna, I was thinking of Deanna as I saw you back there with some recent things that have happened. I'm sure many, many people we could go around and tell stories and examples of that. It's like God began to speak, God began to share. You kind of stepped into something, agreed with it, yes and amen. And then all of a sudden, like, the favor in the natural world just started to line up. You know, it's like in Joel's prophecy in Acts 2, it says there will be signs in the heavens and wonders on the earth. That's the signs in the heavens, all that prophetic information. You're seeing it. But then That's the yes. But then the wonders on the earth is that favor that lines up, and that's the go. We wait for the yes and the go to line up, and then we know we got our timing in accordance with what God's really wanting to do. Mm-hmm. You know? Is this okay? Yeah, I hope I'm not rambling too much. Yeah. It's just more off the cuff, like this thing I feel in my spirit. You know, I'm really excited about what God wants to do. I was talking with somebody about this thing this week, and I was thinking, yeah, here's the challenge, though. I have no idea what this looks like. Like, I've never done this really in the way I'm seeing it in a church. I can't find a model on the internet. I haven't looked for a model on the internet, but, you know, it's not something that I can really put my hands on, per se, other than just the pieces that I've shared with you. But I believe it's it's right on because of that, probably, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, it's about 12 o'clock, so that feels like a good place to kind of leave that, you know, for today. I will say this, just kind of to close, what the Lord's been sharing with us in Romans, especially chapters 3 through 8, if you want to refresh your personal time in Romans 3 through 8, and then it goes to chapter 12, is these different pieces of a mosaic that when you put them all together, reflect the Father, like the Father heart of God. So like the first one was that extravagant grace that Jesus came and released, and Paul talks so much about as an apostle of grace. And particularly in our lives, like, you know, the no judgment zone, remembering from where it is that we've come and how, but by the grace of God, we are what we are. That's so important to reflect the Father. The second one had to do with faith. You know that Galatians 2:20, the faith of Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by His faith. We talked about our containers of faith that He's increasing. As I see a reflection of our dad, I see a faith there. This rock solid faith on which I stand, so to speak. Like this faith that I just don't even have words to describe what it looks or feels like. But we prayed into it. You remember that a few weeks ago? We received it by faith. This faith, this increase. Because again, I believe God is going to call us to do some things and to believe for some things that are big. That maybe we don't even have the capacity or the thought to pray for at this moment. That kind of faith. That's how it was the second piece. The third one last week is freedom. We went off to the aspect of freedom and physical health.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of release of freedom that explodes. When you look at Papa or Daddy or Abba or the Father, you know, however you want to call him. When you look at that guy, when you really look at him, can you think of a better description as freedom? I mean, this guy is so wild. Okay, because remember, Jesus personified was him. The reflection of him as a human, you know, God-man. That guy was wild, man. He was unhinged. No, they could not pin him down. The religious leaders were absolutely baffled. And the extravagant sinners out there were completely undone. I mean, there was just no way to define. Do you realize this is who Daddy's like? This is what he is. He is freedom. He is freedom from sin. He is freedom from fear. He is freedom to love. Just go on and on. Infinite freedom. And in Romans 6, I'll get to next week, this is just the preview, is as we reflect the Father, we get a revelation that in life, we always have a choice. Life is made up of choices. Think about it. From day one in the Garden of Eden, God put two trees in the garden, didn't he? And the way I think about it is, he didn't want to create robots. He created free will because it was an important part of his plan for this creation to enjoy. And in that, he created this choice. And our pastor Byron tweeted this week, God has given us an amazing power, choice. You make your choice, and your choice makes you. You make your choice. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. And so I'm just going to pray that as all these pieces keep coming together in our lives, and I've been praying these three things, grace, faith, freedom, my choices. I've been praying these in every single morning when I get up. Lord, I just thank you for your faith. Lord, I receive your grace. I thank you. You've created me for freedom. Lord, I thank you for the power to make right choices, to choose your ways or what you've put in, you know, whatever what the choice looks like or feels like. God, as these come together, God, I pray that our lives would reflect the Father. I pray my life, your life, God, as we just go through our lives, as we're at the gas station, as we're in the workplace, as we're going to school, as we're doing our thing with family, in every scenario, God, we pray in this morning that our lives would be like the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
That we would look like that reflection of our Abba Father, of our Daddy God, the most beautiful being in all of creation, in all the universe.
Yes.
You are, Father, the very one who created all of this anyway. And how amazing that you created in such a way for little old us to be a reflection of that kind of glory. That kind of beauty. Lord, so we just ask you to melt away the fear off of hearts this morning. I'm asking you to break off doubt, to leave behind worry. Lord, I pray, God, that you would absolutely do what only you can do. Lord, and create in all of us as individuals and families, and then in us corporately, that beautiful mirror image of who you are. Just thank you for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Great stuff.